不在打在我摸在摸去去我 Hi. I left that on a little long. I'll explain in a second. Welcome back. This is Chicken Philosophy. The I Ching part 3, in which we'll one thing at a time. Okay, I left the beginning wheel on for a little bit of extra time because there's like 8 new subscribers. Hi to the new folks. Hello. And I just kind of wanted, let's bring this up. So this is where we are now. And it's a 15-part cycle with 5 books. So the one that you subscribed for, Divine Pymander, maybe you saw that and you saw Nag Hammadi as well. And you were like, I'm interested in these two things and I don't know what the rest of this stuff is, right? So right now we're just going over I Ching. The White Petal previously was Tao Te Ching. And before that, it was The Secret of the Golden Flower. So you can find all of that on the main Chicken Philosophy page. You can find those playlists if that's something you're interested in. If it's not, then you can tune in next time. If you're like, I tuned in for the Divine Pymander and the Nag Hammadi, I ain't interested in no Chinese shit. First of all, I'm sorry, or I accept your compliments for my accurate representation of your accent. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Some people talk like that. It's fine. I talk weird. I have a funny way of talking. I live in India, so like, I don't even know how weird I sound. I'll say something. Oh, that's you got any butter? And people be like, yeah, we got some butter. And I'm like, cool. Can I have some? And they're like, yeah, here's the butter. And I'm like, what's funny? And it's like, it's butter. And I'm like, is it? Oh, okay, you know. So I'm the weird one with the funny accent, the foreigner with the funny accent. So I get to burn off some of the bad karma from my ancestors picking on foreigners with funny accents. You know what I mean? Anyway, what am I talking about? Nothing at all. I'm just saying. If you're not into Chinese stuff, you're not into I Ching, that's okay. Here on Chicken Philosophy, we are. Maybe give it a shot. Give it a chance. Give it a, you know, the old test whirl. Sometimes I can't think of things that are right on the edge of my tongue. It happens. So what are we talking about? Okay, so the 15-part cycle, basically, it's me. I'm this guy. I'm the mild-mannered person who we had to invent in order to, like, blend in society. And then you've met the others already, right? Gwitty and the guy with the hat, and you know, and then BT, and you even know Pymander, you know everybody. I wasn't really in that one much, but I was in the background going, yeah. But I'm me, I'm Edward, I'm the guy whose name matches the one on the birth certificate, so I'm the one most commonly mistaken for, like, the real guy, so we can all pretend that it's me, I'm the one who puts on the hat, and anyway. So Mechan Revelations is next. That's sometimes where I lose people. They're like, well, this other stuff is kind of cool, but I don't know about this Islam. That's where we get in. Sorry again for the accent. So that's where we get into Sufism. Sufism is mystical Islam, for those who didn't know. Maybe you know a little bit of, like, you've read, like, you know, there's memes of Rumi poetry or whatever. And so we do, like, deep dive into, like, the nitty-gritty of the... Are we wonky today? It's acceptable. It's a little confusing because the bookshelves are actually, like, bending. So I'm like, is this... It's fine. It's passable, I think. It's good enough. Then Carl Jung. We read Carl Jung's Black Books. We're up to book 7 now. So that's where Chicken Philosophy started. So, like, what happened was I was doing Buddhist Books podcast, and I was doing it daily. And... you know, or Pymander was, you know, I should say. And then, you know, I got the red book, and then I got the black books, but I was like, oh, I'll get to that one day. But then I realized the Buddhist Books project was going to take probably the rest of my life, and even then I wouldn't finish all the books. And so I would never get to these other things that I find interesting, particularly the black books, if I didn't create Chicken Philosophy. And I had a friend, somebody asked me, why is it Chicken Philosophy? And I said, well, Robbie's channel channel was Gonzo Theology. And Gonzo, of course, is like a type of journal, Gonzo journalism, you know. And but also it's the name of a character on The Muppets who, if you remember, was in love with this particular chicken. So I decided as like a companion channel to make, you know, there's Gonzo Theology, there's Chicken Philosophy. And then Gonzo Theology became Gonzo History. And now Gonzo Theology and Gonzo History are both history because YouTube decided that, you know, like calls to action for revolution and violent overthrowing of, you know, the powers that be is not something that they... Or I assume that's what it was. I, you know, don't know what else it would be. That's probably the thing, right? Anyway, hi, Robbie, if you're watching. So what else? Then after Carl Jung, we wrap back around to Nag Hammadi, and then Pymander, and then I Ching. So there's like, you get the idea. And each time it comes around, it's a different me, but there's three of me. And so there's five books and three of me. So it's a cycle of 15. All right. That was orientation, brief orientation for the people who might have still been a little confused, because we sort of jumped in the deep end of the swimming pool with Divine Pymander, and so that was mostly for the new folk. So, for the folk who aren't new, hi! How you been? Hope you're doing well. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do the I Ching, and I do have it figured out. Last time, you remember, Gwydion was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. But I know, and I'll explain. But first, here's a nice cool cup of water, filtered water, in a steel cup. Would you like some? And also, I just like reached in to the pile of incenses and randomly grabbed what turned out to be rose incense of this Oroshika. So while I'm opening that, I'll explain. So... if you'd like, you can start at the beginning of the I Ching series. That was when BT started the series, and he began reading this book here, The Introduction, which turned out to be like instructions on how to use the book to do an I Ching divination. And we had been pulling these I Ching cards and reading the briefest possible definition of each one at the beginning of White Petal videos for a long time. And so armed with that information, the second I Ching episode was Gwydion, and he actually did the very first proper, more or less, I Ching divination. He messed up one of them, but it's okay. We got the reading we got based on the mistake, and we just figured the mistake was meant to be, right? So here we've got some rose. So, in that episode, we were thinking, should we just do a reading? Because that makes more sense than just reading the definitions of all the figures. And, no, we're not going to do that. But Gwydion is going to do that. So, episode 14, I mean, the 14th of every cycle of 15 is a red and white episode. In other words, it's Gwydion reading I Ching. Right, Gwydion doing I Ching, or reading I Ching in this case. I mean, in a different usage of the word reading. Today is, of course, me doing I Ching, so it's blue and white. And if you'd like, there's a really fun, I do recommend checking this out. In fact, I'll make it the end screen, the Color Wheel 15. So if you want to do a deep dive into the colors on the color wheel and the color combinations and anything that could possibly be said, well, not anything, but it's a deep dive into the colors themselves. What it is we spent a few weeks. We did one full cycle of 15 with an emphasis on the colors. And it took 3 weeks. I don't know how long it took. And then at the end of it, I did one of those cycle of 15 videos where I take little snippets of each of the 15 videos in the cycle of 15, except in this case, they were anywhere from like 1 minute to 20 minutes about from each of the 15. So it's like an hour and a half long episode where it's a deep dive into all the colors. And if you look at the description, I hope I didn't point to it, because I'm going to point again if I didn't. If you look at the description, then you can find each of the videos that are related to each of the colors. And anyway, so in particular, the blue and white was a little bit fun and edgy. Not like edging, like edgy, like, you know. Anyway, this is the Color Wheel 15, editor Edward here. So, yeah, as you, I'm sure you know, he did point twice. So if you look in the description below and open out the description, scroll down, you'll notice there's the there's two links that both say Color Wheel 15. The first one is the compilation video that's an hour and a half long and, you know, is the thing he's talking about. The second one is the playlist. So for every compilation, there's a corresponding playlist. And so the playlist is the long form of each of the 15 videos. So if you want, like, I don't know, 10 to 12 hours of content that includes the deep dive into the colors, then check out the second link to the playlist. But if you just want the hour and a half or whatever it is long, how long is this? Hour and 8 minutes and 40 seconds of just about the colors, then click the first link. Check it out, and it'll be at the end screen. Okay, so we're doing blue and white today. When it's red and white, at the 14th of 15, two things will happen. One, Gwydion will do an actual I Ching divination with coins and shit, and he'll do a little, you know, brief look back at the previous 14, including the one he's in, so there's an echo. It'll make sense when you get there. And then the 15th of 15 is always BT doing Mech and Revelations. That's yellow and green. And then after that, then we come out with one of those 15 that are usually only about 8 minutes of, like, let's look back at the previous 15, and that's fun. And right now we're in the middle of the Christmas of 2515. So this is the cycle of 15 that we're going to be in the middle of when Christmas comes. So there's a theme. It looks like this. This is the thumbnail. So the Halloween of 2515 looked like this. And then at the end, we added the little thumbnails from the right side of each of the and then it looked like that. So this is the Christmas one now, but later it's going to be populated with, anyway. All right. Is it making sense? I hope not. Maybe. No, I mean, I hope so. Okay. What are we doing? Yes. What we're going to do is, first, there's the 8 trigrams. And these 8 trigrams, you know, permutate in various ways to make the 64 hexagrams. Gram means line. So if you're thinking hexagram, isn't that like the 6-sided star is a hexagram? Yes, because it is also 6 lines arranged in a particular way. However, I Ching is 6 lines, some of which are broken and some of which are solid. And so it's there's 64 hexagrams, 64 groups of 6 lines. Is it making sense? Anyway, so what I want to do is, rather than like start at the beginning of the book and just read going forward, is, with a little bit of guidance, if for the next, I don't know how many episodes it's going to take to do the 8 trigrams. So there isn't much, I skimmed through it, and there doesn't seem to be anything about the trigrams themselves. However, if you take, let's say, heaven, and you put heaven on top of heaven, then you get a hexagram called heaven, right? And if you take earth, and you put earth on top of earth, then you get a hexagram called earth. So what I'm going to do is go through, in the order in which they're listed, the hexagrams that are like that. So only 8 hexagrams are combinations of a trigram with itself, right? So like if you look at numbers, there's 11 is a 1 and a 1, 22 is a 2 and a 2, 33 is a 3 and a 3, but all the other numbers are like different combinations of numbers. You know what I'm saying? So in that case, there'd be, what, 10? I don't know. I didn't think about it too much. The point is, what are we doing? I don't know. We're going to do that. So I think it starts with heaven. I'm going to need to put on my reading glasses, though. This is the point in the episode where I remember that I need reading glasses. And now, oh, that's what I look like. Oh, this is a very wrinkly shirt. All right. So that's what we're doing. Oh, but first, we're going to resume our white petal tradition It's the color of the petal. It's like, so it started with Secret of the Golden Flower, right? And I don't know how many times I've pointed in the corner. After that, it was Tao Te Ching. And so you can find Secret of the Golden Flower and Tao Te Ching on the main page. And so each petal is when the book ends, then it gets replaced with something else. Sometimes of a similar nature, sometimes of an opposite nature, sort of. Tellier de Jardin was a Catholic priest, and he was the purple petal before Nakamadi. But he was a controversial Catholic priest, and Nakamadi was controversial to Catholics. But I think Nakamadi was more controversial than Tellier de Jardin. They didn't even kick Tellier de Jardin out. They just told him to go to China and tried to ignore him. So pick a card, any card. That one? Okay. That's going to be our general guide for today, and it is double broken, double solid, double broken, which is a palindrome, kind of. And Editor Edward, if you would please turn up the Jean-Michel Jarre Concerts in China while I look that one up. That's another thing about the white pedal, is we often play that particular album. I hope it doesn't get overplayed in your opinion, because it never gets overplayed in my opinion, and I have heard it a lot more than you have, even if you've heard every white pedal episode. Hsiao Kuo. So H-S-I-A-O, I-A-O, Some people are like, what the fuck? And other people are like, oh, Anyway, Hsiao Kuo, preponderance of the small. Wow. Okay, what does it say? In a great storm, the wise bird returns to her nest and waits patiently. All right. How that relates to this, I'm not sure. Maybe just go wait in your nest until the storm passes and you can come back for Nagamati and Divine Bimander. It's too weird. It's gotten weird. I don't know about this. It was one thing, but this seems different than that one was. Yeah, that's another thing about chicken philosophy is, it changes. It changes. It's different at times. Sometimes it's like, whoa. He was very serious and very authoritative, and now he's just a goofball. Now he's just being insane and irreverent. Yeah, it happens. No, I don't know. Maybe not. Okay, so that's all we get for this one. That's just our guiding light. Now, what I'm going to do first is heaven, okay. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth, they say. Okay, the heaven, earth is later. We're going to go in order, so, you know, and of course, just like heaven. Don't play too much of that one. I don't want to get this video too blocked, but I would be remiss if I didn't include that's all the heaven songs I can think of. I'm sure there's others. Let's play one more.
Heaven, I'm in heaven.
No idea what you just heard. Okay, so Xian, right? So this is heaven. This is the trigram heaven. You put it on top of itself, you get the hexagram heaven. But we're seeking to learn about the trigram by reading about the hexagram, but it's really the hexagram that we're reading about. Is it confusing with this up here? Let's put this over here and kind of make it a little bit more subtle, so it's not. So this is what we're focusing on. This, in order to learn about this. So we're going to read about this. Okay. It's the first of the eight in this. I don't know how many episodes it's going to be before we finish reading about the eight trigrams, or the eight hexagrams that are a trigram on top of itself. Okay. So, page one. Chien. Some of you are like, isn't that French for dog? Same page. It's probably pronounced differently, though. And it's probably Chien. I have a bad habit from learning French of making... I think a lot of the time when it's CH, I've been saying she. Now, in English, you might notice there's chrome. So there's this CH is a K. And then there's Charles, like my middle name. And that's a Ch. And then there's champagne. Another third. So there's three things. English is... Some people could say English is fucking stupid. I mean, you know, like not to... You know what I mean? But what it is it's actually sedimentary layers of history and languages merging with other languages. So what happened was chrome, when the Latin folk, when the ancient Romans were like, how do we phonetically transliterate this Greek letter into our language? And they're like, well, it's not like a hard C. We'll put an H in front of it, and that'll signal to people that it's like not chrome, it's chrome, I guess. Something like that. So that's the origin of that. It's in ancient Rome. And then 1066, the Norman French folk, the Germanics that spoke French, that, you know what I mean, took over and became king of England for a while, for a few hundred years, I guess, you know. When they came over, Ch was how you pronounce that in French. So Charles is a French name from 1,000 years ago, right? And then, they kicked the Normans back to Normandy, right? And then another 1,000 years went by, or whatever, another 800, 700 years went by, and the French gradually changed their pronunciation of CH from Ch to Sh. And so champagne got imported into English with the CH sounding like Sh. So there's just three very, very different periods in time, different in history, the three Ch, the three CHs. So, but I think when someone's like, transliterating or translating or trying to phonetically, you know, capture the sounds made in Chinese, that they probably, when they use CH, they mean the standard CH, which would be the Charles CH. So I apologize for my, and same with chakra. My dad said chakra, but then, you know, people started telling me as an adult that, no, it's chakra. I'm like, what? It is? I've only ever heard chakra, but no, it's chakra. Okay. Anyway, so Chien. I'll try to correct that moving forward. Chien, the creative. So heaven, creative. Okay. If you are alert to the creative, you will meet with good fortune now. All right. Now we're going to read the rest of this, which we haven't read before. We read that before when we got that figure. All right. I mean, that little bit about being open to the creative, good fortune now. Now we're going to read stuff we haven't read. This hexagram signals a time when the fundamental creative power of the universe is available to you. An unrestricted outpouring of benevolent energy from the heavens makes possible profound progress for those who are conscientiously following proper principles. Frantic activity is not in order. Your responsibility instead is to be open and receptive to the higher power, allowing it to guide your actions. By allowing inferior thoughts and habits to pass away, you make room for an expansion of your superior qualities, which leads inevitably to good fortune. In your conduct with others, embody tolerance, reticence, and gentleness. Strive to meet others halfway in every situation. To overextend yourself or require that of another is to create an undesirable imbalance. Your attitude toward the sage is most important. Alertness and receptiveness are paramount. The sage is invisible. That's not, it's not saying, hey, go talk to your guru. The sage is the one who gives you the I Ching figure when you flip the coins, right? Who determines this? Randomity? No, the sage. So, right? Alertness and receptiveness are paramount. To receive the powerful assistance of the creative, remain humble, patient, accepting, and responsive. Careful attention to truth brings vast rewards at this time. And now it occurs to me that, like, you know, the I Ching may come across as a system of divination, which it is, but if you take the sum total of all the lessons contained in the 64 and all the different 256, 512, 1024, or however many ways that it can get combined, or with the changes, because if the lines, you flip three coins instead of just one to get the on-off switch, and then if it's a six or a nine, then you read it, you know, that kind of thing. We went over it before. It'll hopefully, if you saw the previous I Ching episodes, then you know what I'm talking about. But it's like these particular lessons, particular advice, that if a person, for example, does I Ching every day and reads the advice that the I Ching gives you, then they will end up embodying a particular kind of virtue, you might say, or, you know, being programmed in a particular way, which you could say would be the root of what we might consider Chinese culture? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. But it feels true. I'm not any kind of authority on anything. Yeah. So, like, it makes me think, like, if you were to take the red letter text of the New Testament or whatever, you know, or you were to take the certain key bits of advice from Christianity, and instead of having someone at a pulpit shout it at you every Sunday or say it nicely, depending on the denomination, right? If instead of that, you were to make a game where you roll dice and then the dice determine which of the chapters and verses you're going to read that day, and that's the chapter and verse that God wants you to focus on today, then, I mean, it'd be a little bit like the I Ching, except perhaps slightly different. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of it's similar. Be humble, be virtuous, be kind to others. You know, like, there's some... But the sort of communistic take that Christianity has seems to be lacking in I Ching. Ironically, over in China, you have people inventing banking and all that, and paper money, and talking about good fortune as, you know, a sign. But then they say, like, but not too good. You know, I mean, maybe that's just the Tao Te Ching. We just read Tao Te Ching, and that was... So it historically, it starts with the I Ching, then it goes... Then Confucius came along, and then Tao Te Ching came along. So, I don't know, maybe later we should jump into some Confucius or something, so that we get more... Fill in more of the gaps in our knowledge of the Chinese... you know, way or whatever, the history. What's my point? My point is, yeah. I don't know. What? Fuck if I know. I don't know. I was talking and I don't know if I was going anywhere with any of that. But, okay, so each of the six lines has a thing. So if when you rolled the coins or when you flipped the coins, if you got your... If you got a six instead of a seven or an eight or a nine, so those are the options. You can get a six, a seven, an eight, or a nine. If it's a nine, then it'll be no. If it's a nine, then it's going to be solid. If it's a seven, it's also going to be solid. If it's a six, it's going to be broken, And if it's an 8, it's going to be broken. I tend to think of even as, like, good and odd as, like, janky. Maybe something wrong with me? I don't know. Maybe it's in the word odd and even, right? There's a bias in the language and maybe in the history of the groupthink or collective unconscious, to bring in some Jung. Where this, the solid one, is the singular one. And the one that's double, the one that's even, is broken. So even means two, which means there's two of them, which means it's broken. And odd means singular, there's one of them, which means it's solid. So I have to retrain my brain so that even doesn't automatically come out as solid and odd doesn't come out as broken. Does that make sense? So if you rolled, let's say, for example, in this example, we flipped three coins and it was tails, six times. Very unlikely, but let's say that's what happened. If that were the case, then we would need to read the changes part for all six. Hi, so Gwydion's fucking up here. Afterthought, Editor Edward here. Editor Edward just fucked up and said Gwydion when he should have said Edward. Not to be confused with Editor Edward, who's actually Pymander Aquarian. Not to be confused with Pymander Aquarian, who's actually Edward. It'll make sense if you've seen Pymander 1000. I might be out of links now. And by the way, I'm recording this like 20 seconds after I recorded that. I just changed the lighting and put on the bathrobe to make it Afterthought Editor Edward different from... Never mind. Back to the thing. I'm going to go ahead and try to help, but he does correct it later. He realizes what he's doing. So when he says six, he should be saying nine. And when he says eight, he should be saying seven. And don't worry too much about it. I'll just pop the correct number on when he says the wrong number, and then he'll catch himself and he'll explain it in a minute. It's very unlikely that would happen. If you got this figure and you got it by getting seven, if you got it by rolling a six, an eight, a six, an eight, a six, and an eight, then you would only read the ones that were the sixes, right? Is it making sense? Or if you rolled a bunch of eights and a six, then you would only read this one. So what we're going to do in order to learn is we're going to read all six. So for this bottom line, if that was a six, then you read this. What? Careful attention to truth brings vast rewards at this time. That might have been something that I hadn't finished reading. Okay, now here's the first line. Darkness still. Do not act prematurely. The light of the creative has yet to emerge. Remain patient until the time is clearly ripe. So it's like, she remembers your name. It's not time to ask her out on a date. You know, like, okay, it's good she remembered your name, but wait. Wait until she laughs at your joke. You know, maybe, if you're a heterosexual male or a lesbian. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's, you know what I mean? I'm just using that example. I don't mean to be problematic in any way. I mean to be problematic in every way. So, equal opportunity problems. Second line. So, if you rolled a six for this, the light begins to emerge. Ah, sensing a pattern. It hadn't emerged yet, now it's beginning. Let's see how all six of them. The light, the second one. The light begins to emerge. Resist the compulsions of the ego to influence others and gain recognition. Modesty furthers. Okay. Resist the temptations of the ego to influence others. Okay. The third line, if that was a six. I mean, if that was, is that right? No. God, I keep getting it wrong. A six is even. If that's a nine, if you rolled a nine... So when I was saying before about six and eight, I should have said nine and seven. So there's two ways to get a solid line. Roll a nine, roll a seven. And so a seven, you don't read this line. A nine, you do. That's called a change. Okay. We're learning. I'm learning. I'm learning in front of you. So that's what's happened. Okay, the third line. Your inner power makes influence possible. There is danger in ambition and agenda making. Did you know that agenda is the Persian word, the Farsi word for prostitute? That's from what I heard from a girl from Iran. I mean, you know, someone's pretty reliable source. But whenever she hears somebody talk about their agenda, she's like, oh, I was talking to agenda earlier. Never mind. There is danger in ambition and agenda making. Don't make agendas. Come on. That makes you a pimp, right? Sorry, I'll just keep moving. The truly beneficial influence is that which flows naturally. Or madam. Maxwell. You know, the truly beneficial influence is that which flows naturally from your attention to what is correct. Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. So fourth line, if it's a nine, then you read the line that goes like this. A place of transition. There is the possibility of progress in many directions. Let go of preconceived notions about your proper path. You succeed by allowing the creative to guide you. I like this advice. I think this is better than our Bible game we made up earlier. Good stuff. I mean, it feels good to me. Feels right. Usually, except for when it said the, what was it last time? The path of least resistance is always the path of truth. And it's like, is it? I don't know. Okay, continuing. The fifth line, if it was a nine, you read this. Your attention to proper principles has fostered an emergence of the creative. Influence occurs without any conscious intervention on your part. All right. And finally, the top one. Sixth, arrogance in ambition or conduct brings danger, downfall, and isolation. Remain quietly joined to the will of the sage. The abandonment of gentleness and humility leads to misfortune. Okay, so from all of that, hopefully we get a little bit of an idea about this trigram. Because this trigram doesn't have a whole lot of definition as far as I've found, but if you double it, if you put it on top of itself, then you get everything that I've said today. And I think that that's enough for this one episode. I don't know if going forward, it's going to take seven more episodes to finish the eight trigrams. We might do two trigrams in one episode. I was a little bit, you know, extra with the talk at the beginning of this one. So, you know, we'll just play it by ear, wing it a little bit, and we'll see how it goes moving forward. All right. Well, anyway. Okay. So I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Next time it's going to be Gwydion reading the Meccan Revelations of Ibn al-Arabi. And then we'll go forward from there. And the chicken wheel will keep on turning. And welcome to those who are new, who made it all the way through this. Feel free to give a comment if you want to, or if you want to be shy and just kind of like, just watch. That's okay too. It's up to you, all within your comfort zone. But if you do comment, it does help the channel, because then YouTube robot goes, oh, more people, like, I should show this to more people, and then, you know, this, maybe, I assume. Until next time, don't forget to click the link in the end screen. Bye guys!